In on the final time of his life, entering into Jerusalem, and they call it the Palm Sunday, and he was entering in, and all the people were throwing down their clothes and palms, and they were praising God and singing and dancing, and it was a great rejoicing of time, and they were saying, "Hosanna, Hosanna, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord." And they knew by the book of Psalms that that was only for the Messiah entering in. So the Pharisees said to Jesus, "Tell your disciples to stop praising him. I mean, to stop praising him like that. Tell them to stop." And Jesus said this. He said, "If they stop, even the rocks will cry out." He said, "For God has perfected the praise of his people." And he says, "Out of the mouth of babes, God has perfected praise." You know what that means? That means out of a pure heart as a child. That's God right there, smiles from ear to ear when he hears a prayer of a child, when he sees the face of a beautiful little girl and a young man and a little boy that was up here at the altar praying to Jesus. And just think about it. If you're God and you hear that little voice, "Dear Jesus." I mean, you talk about melting your heart. Amen. God is good. Out of the mouth of babes, praise the Lord. Let's take our Bibles, open up Proverbs chapter 30. Hopefully I can get this message done in about 15 minutes. See what happens. With God, all things are possible. Amen. But it would have to be God to do it. Maybe 22 minutes. How's that? Proverbs chapter 30. Today's the 30th. You know what tomorrow is, don't you? Tomorrow is the first day of October. Wow. It's coming quick. I'm liking it. I'm glad. I want this year to be over. Amen. Heather back there, she was a nurse. It was really hectic, wasn't it, Heather, being a nurse during this COVID time? Yeah, oh, my goodness. I could just imagine. My wife was in the nursing homes and all. Where, thank God, where my wife was, there was no cases at all of COVID. How many cases do you have in your building? A lot. 95% of the people got it? How many people out of them died? Okay, only 10% of the 95%. Wow. Wow. It's a lot. 30 deaths, 150. Wow. That's a lot. That's a lot. Amen. Well, let's get into the Word of God. Tomorrow is the first day of Proverbs. So this is actually the last proverb for the month. Proverbs chapter 30. Are y'all there? Let's look at verse 7, 8, and 9 tonight and see what God has for us. I want you to look what he says. He says, "Two things have I required of thee. Deny me them not before I die." This is a prayer request. This is a begging to God. Now, you remember, this is God's holy word. This is the anointed word of God. So God is speaking through Solomon, who used a surname, a fake name, Agur. That's a whole other story. I preached on that, what Agur means and all that. But here, he uses him to write these words down for us, for me and you to read. And what he says, "Two things have I required of thee, deny me them not before I die." God, he's asking God to, two things were the most important thing in his life, Anton. He's just saying, "Lord, two things is all I'm asking for. Two things I'm asking you, please don't deny them to me before I die." So it's very, very important what he's asking for. Let's look what he's asking for. He says, "Remove far from me vanity." What did he say? Remove what? Vanity. How far? Far. "Remove far from me vanity and lies. Give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with food convenient for me, lest I be full and deny thee and say, who's the Lord? Or lest I be poor and steal and take the name of my God in vain." I want you to look at these. We're going to look at this. "Remove far from me vanity and lies. Give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with food as convenient for me." That last part, "feed me with food as convenient for me," I use in most of my prayers during the day. When I pray, I pray that all the time because it sticks with me, because I want to be fed with what God wants me to be fed with. You know how you're a child, right? And you're like, "I don't want to eat broccoli. I don't want to eat this." You know what I mean? It's like we want what we want, you know, when we want it, how we want it, and all that. But I've learned in my older age to want what God wants for me. You know, when it comes to the Word of God, what does God want me to feed on out of the Bible today? I might want to read about Revelation, and I might want to read about the wars of David, but God has something that He wants to give you that's just for you today. Do you understand that? Give us our daily bread. And He says, feed me with food that's convenient for me. That is what's going to help me today for tomorrow's struggles. Amen. And so we have to realize that God wants to give us something for our souls each day. And sometimes we don't want what God wants. We want what we want. And so I want to hurry up and get in this. But two things He required of the Lord. A plea, a beg of God, not for riches, not for fame, nor health, not even for long life or eternal life, not for peace or have a good life. He prayed, remove from me, far away, vanity and lies. Those two things, this man knew, Solomon knew, God's anointed knew, that these two things, vanity and lies, are in this world, in our lives. Every human being has them. Every human being is struggling with them, and they don't even know it. These two are the killers of your life. I don't mean gonna die like that. I mean you can live a whole full life, have everything you want, and it be for nothing. As I get older, what I see is I look back on my life, and I'm like, what did I do with my life? And as you get older, you see things differently. Your perspective is a little different. And you're thinking, wow, did I waste all those years? All those years that I wanted to do for me and what I wanted and what I thought was good and all that I wanted, it was just puff of smoke. It doesn't do anything. That's what vanity is. Living your life with vanity means that everything you're doing, all your labor, all your time, all your energy, was for nothing. And he knew it. And that's why he's asking God, please, God, remove vanity far from me. Because he wants his life to count. Our lives are so short. You know, it's like I said, it's already October tomorrow, but I'm 59 already. I'm going to be 59 for the next 5 years, so I just get used to it. I'm 61, but I mean, it's like, you know, it's like, all right, how did that happen? You know, think of how old you are. Like, how did that happen? Heather, what are you, like 20 by now? 30, you're a baby. I didn't get saved till I was 31. She's 34. You're so young and you don't even know it. Kira, what are you, 20, 26, 27? 12? I thought you were 4, see? Anyway, my point is time goes fast, doesn't it? And what God's telling us here, I'm sorry I'm wasting time. I don't want to waste any time, especially your time. But he knows that these things will ruin us. He knows that vanity and lies will ruin, waste, and destroy our entire being on this earth. And this is real serious stuff, and I hope you can understand it. This request to be preserved from sin is what he's asking, but which is vain and lying, and it's a deceitful thing, and it promises, you know, this life promises pleasures and profit and liberty and opportunities, which it does not give us. That life promises us, you know, this world promises, well, if you do this, you get this, and you do this, and you get that. And you know how it is, because everyone does. Man, if I just had that big house on the lake, you know, if I just had that, and you could add so many things in your life, if I just had that, and then what happens, you get that, and it's just something else, and it's just something else, and it's just something else, and it never satisfies, no matter what it is. And so God knows that your whole life is chasing like the horse with the carrot in front of it. They stick a carrot in front of the horse, so the horse is chasing the carrot. The horse never gets the carrot, never gets anywhere. He's just fooled. And that's what God knows. And this here in the proverb, he's saying, God, I'm begging you, these two things, give them to me. Do not deny them from me. Remove far from me vanity and lies. Because the pleasures of this life are vanity. Like I said, that carrot, and we labor and we get nowhere. And the pleasures of this life are a lie. They truly are. They're a lie, which can never really satisfy us. If that were true, every rich person would be the happiest person in the world. They're not. They go through marriage after marriage after marriage, and they live their whole lives with fame and fortunes and everything you could ever imagine, and they are just emptier than you. Because you know what is better than not than you know what's better than having everything and then really realizing you have nothing is really having very little and realize you have everything you need. He desires to have the vain thoughts. Listen, he desires, remove these vain thoughts from my mind, vain words out of my mouth, vain actions out of my life, to have his eyes turned from beholding vanity and his feet from walking in it and his affections taking off. What happens is our affections are on the things of the world and they're not on the things of God. I mean, what we really want is the things that are out there. We all do. Everyone does. It's not a sin. It's just reality. And what he's telling to tell us, he's asking God, remove these affections for the things of this world from me. Because I realize that they're smoke and mirrors. It's not real. You can go after it and go after it and never have anything that you really want. Sunday, I'm working on a message for Sunday, and it's very interesting, and it's about your tears, and you cry, and you think about how many people have shed tears in the world. I bet you could fill, from all the humans that have cried from the beginning of time, how they could fill the ocean with their tears, and each tear, and each teardrop, it means something. Each teardrop, we'll talk about that on Sunday, but I just want you to think about this, is that the lusts and the pleasures and the profits of this world, as well as to be kept from all the errors of this world. He asks not only from vanity, but for lies. He says, keep these lies away from me. What is it? Errors and doctrines and teachings and lies. Do you know how many people are affected? I mean, really affected by what they see on YouTube? They are affected. I mean, I can't believe it. It's like, might as well, YouTube is like a cult. Because when you talk to me, you know what I'm saying? Well, I saw on YouTube. Check this on YouTube. You get into a discussion. Well, here, check this out on YouTube. Listen to this guy on YouTube. Listen, everything's like YouTube. And they believe it because it's on YouTube. It's got to be true. And it scares me. And this is what will ruin people. Because God, I don't know whether you know it or not. I was going to call her Kristen. Kira, I was actually going to call you Kristen because I can't see you anyway. You're all blurry. But anyway, do you realize that there's people out there that God wants to put you on a straight and narrow? That's what he says, straight and narrow path. Well, this world will get you off the path. Go over this way, go over that way. And you end up on that path for years and years and years, and you don't even know you're on the wrong path. You're just doing what you're supposed to be doing, and you find out, I just wasted 10 years of my life. I just wasted 15, 25 years. I wasted my life. It means nothing. Bad relationships, bad jobs, bad this. And because you didn't follow the straight and narrow path that God has for you. Because all of us, you, me, and everyone that claims the name of Jesus Christ, it has a master. We have a boss. He is God. And you don't make a move without God. You don't make a move. You don't buy a car. You don't miss church. You don't not read your Bible. You don't watch a movie that you might be questioning without asking God, is this all right? Because we just do what we want to do. And we end up doing what we want to do for so long. And the truth of the matter is, when we really need to get a hold of God, we're so far from God, we don't know how to get a hold of him. Because we're coming to church and we read our Bible once in a while, we think we're walking with God. You've left his path a long time ago. Let me get back to it. But he understands that in his own weakness and is in his temptations, and he prays, lead me not into temptation. Deliver me from evil. That's what he's saying. He knows that he is a man that vanity is there, and the things of this world is there, and it's hurt, and it's taking me there, and he wants it removed far from him because it's in him. Temptations are in every one of us. All of us have them, and he's asking for them to be moved, removed far away. Deliver us from evil, as it says. Vanity is emptiness. It's nothing. It's a waste of your life. It's a waste of your labors. It's a waste of your time. It's a waste of all your energy and a waste of your money. It's a waste of what you were really born for. This world, we were camping and these people moved in as we were moving out, and there was a family and two young boys, 17, but they looked like, one was 17, one was 14. They looked like twins. They were supposed to say, but they were really honorable young men, and they were so, yes sir, and this, I was like, wow. And I was in our camper, and I could hear them talking at night. You know, it was late at night, and they're in the go-kart, and they're just talking. And I could hear some of it, and they didn't say one thing bad. You know what I mean? I'm like, wow, two young boys. So the next day I went out, and I told them, I said, you know, guys, you're on the right path. You have character. You have this. I said, don't be a zero. Be a hero. I said, this world's full of zeros. This world is full of zeros. What we need is some heroes. Amen. And I'm here to tell you, and I'm not saying this, I'm not blowing smoke. Each and every one of you are the hero of your own story. Each and every one of you are the hero in your own story. God's written you a story, and you're the hero. You're the person that somebody's waiting for to give them the word of God, to help them, to teach them. You're the somebody, like Tony, praise God. You know, I get used to it, but I don't ever get used to it. When he said, I want to praise the Lord for you, Pastor, for leading me this, you know what I mean? It's like, that's my job. But that's all of our jobs. You know what I mean? It's not like, I told someone to come to church. I'm the best. No, it's like, that's what you're supposed to do. You know what I mean? We should be heroes. Heroes don't sit around and go, look what I did today. I saved a little cat from the tree today. I'm such a great hero. Look what I did. I saved the rock. No, that's what you do because that's who you are. And the problem is we have too many zeros and not enough heroes. Amen? Why? Because those heroes that were meant for greatness, like that family back there, meant for greatness, that young lady so smart, so talented, she can sing, she can play the piano, she can do so many things. I've never met anyone like her. I'm amazed by her. But she doesn't think she can do anything right. And so what it is she's either going to be the hero of her story or she's not going to be the hero. And so what it is vanity and lies. The devil will feed you lies. You can't do it. There's no way, Tom, you could ever be a preacher. There's no way. Not with your past. Really? That's a lie. There's no way, Barbara, that you could ever be, you know, this, you know, at your age, not that you're old. You know what I mean? And all this stuff. You know, you say, God, the devil's going to lie to you. You can't do it. You can do anything. Do you understand that? You are meant for greatness and greater things than this. But what do we settle for? We settle for crumbs instead of getting the great things that God has for us. We settle for a working on a Sunday for an extra $100 or working a little long for an extra 50, 60, even $1,000. How many times have you had some money? How many, and what does the Bible say? Money makes itself wings and it flies away. It is not about money. Speaking on that, life is short, live it for God. Can I hear someone say amen? Life is short, live it for God. Because God knows what you need before you ever even know what you need. God knows what's going to make you fulfilled. God knows what's going to make you happy. God knows what's going to make you excited. God knows what's going to give you purpose on this earth. You wouldn't think about it right now if you could have the perfect life. And I'm not talking spiritually. Man, what would you want? I want that, you know. Me personally, I want a big house. I hate bumping into stuff. I want a house so wide that I don't knock over anything. I want steps wide when I carry things up the steps. I don't have to squeeze. So I like big. I want my wife to be big. No, I'm kidding. My thing is, I'm just joking. I'm joking. But my point is, when you could think, like, what would it ever be that you'd want? I'm here to tell you. The things God has for you are so much better. And that's why we have to live it for God. You'll never be disappointed. I've never, ever, ever met a Christian, man or woman, that lived for God and was disappointed. Never. I never met a Christian that lived for God for years and was sorry that they were a Christian. Sorry that they lived for Jesus. It doesn't happen. You'll never be disappointed because God's way is truth. It's life, it's eternal reward. The things of this world are a falsehood, and it's a lie, and it's a false hope. Give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with food convenient for me. God knows what we need. We live for what we want. God knows what we need, but we live for what we want. You do what you want. You go to work for what you want. You do what you want, but God knows what you need. So you have to start realizing that if you could have this prayer, God, please remove far from me vanity and lies. I want you to turn with me real quick to I'm going to skip Psalm 62. If later on, if you want to go back and read Psalm 62, verse 9 and 10. But for time-wise, look at Proverbs 27. Just go back a little bit. Proverbs 27, look in verse 7. Proverbs 27, 7, are you there? Look what it says. It says, the full soul loatheth of the honeycomb. But to the hungry soul, every bitter thing is sweet. See, the fool, when you're full, when you have, that's why he says, give me neither riches nor poverty. If you give me too much, if I have too much, I'm not going to appreciate it. I'm not going to desire God in my life as much because I have everything I need. You understand? And he says, here he says, the full soul, someone that thinks they have everything they need, is he loathes the honeycomb. That means if you ate so much and you're so full, right? And someone offers you a dessert that you love, you're like, no thanks. Nah. And they say, eat it. And you're like, no, I couldn't. I couldn't eat another thing. Well, your soul should never be full like that. Your stomach, yeah. But your soul should want always wanting more of God. And anyway, look what it says. A full soul loathes the honeycomb, but to the hungry soul, every bitter thing is sweet. How many things in your life do you would say they're bitter? I don't want them in my life. Wouldn't it be amen. But wouldn't it be great to get to the point where every bitter thing is sweet to you? Everything that you didn't like. That's why I'm so happy my parents, the way they were, made me eat everything. I mean, if it was on the paper, on the table, on the plate, you had to eat it. And you had to. There was no, you ate every drop of it. You stayed there all night and didn't. And I'll tell you what that did. That made me like everything. And so therefore, when I go to someone's house or I go to a restaurant, I love everything. Everything makes me, hey, you want clams? Love them. Hey, you want beef? Love it. You want pork? Love it. You want salad? Love it. You want Brussels sprouts? Love it. There's nothing you can give me that's not real food that I don't love. I love everything. You know, I'm not going to eat people's stomach and intestines, and that's a different thing. But what I'm saying is it makes me happy everywhere I go when someone offers me something to eat, and then I meet people like, oh, no, I don't like that. I think them poor souls. They don't have the joy that I have. Let me move on. The honeycomb is the teachings of the Bible. You listening? The honeycomb is what God contains in his Bible. Like this one here where it says he's full. He says, I don't really need that. And therefore, because I don't need it, I really don't want it. This teaching that we're having right now, there's certain people that feel as though they don't need this. This isn't what they wanted. This isn't what they desired. So this little message that they have, that's not anything to them. But when I'm reading it, and God's giving me today, because you know what I struggle with? Vanity. I struggle with temptation. I struggle with the things that everyone else struggles with. And I want them gone from me. I hate it when I'm lied to by my flesh, or I'm lied to, yeah, if you do that, get that, or whatever, or look at that, or see that. And you get there, and then you feel horrible because you did something you didn't want to do. And he knows that. He says, remove far from me this stuff. Because he knows that it just drags you down. Turn to Luke chapter 18 with me. Luke chapter 18. The honeycomb is the teaching of the Bible. Like this message right here, but a full soul says, I don't need this, therefore I really don't want it, I don't really care. You know what they'd rather have though? If I was up here giving out money, and I want money too, but that's a false hope. Because think about it right now, and I'm being dead serious. Wouldn't it be nice to know what it was like to be really rich? I'd like to just know what it's like, to never have to worry about paying a bill. My whole life, since I was a child, having children, I was always like, how am I going to pay the electric bill? How am I going to pay the rent? Paying a bill on time was just always stressful, all the time. I would always wonder what it's like to be rich. You don't even like say, how much is in the bank? You know what I mean? Like, how do I have enough to cover this? You know what I mean? Just like, sure, pay your bill. I wouldn't even know what that's like. So yeah, I'd like to know what it was like to be rich for a while, but I wouldn't want to be rich. And I'll tell you why, and she's shaking her head, and certain people know, because with those riches comes something else. And I want you to read this with me. Look in Luke chapter 18. Are you there? I was there. I passed right by it. Luke chapter 18. Look with me, if you would, please, in verse 24 to 27. It says in verse 24 to 27, and when Jesus saw that he was, hold on. Yeah, when Jesus saw that he was very sorrowful, he said, how hardly shall they that have riches enter into the kingdom of God? For it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than it is for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. And they that heard it said, who then can be saved? And he said, the things which are impossible with men are possible with God. Now look at me in verse 17. Verse 17 down to 23, this is the story that he's talking about. He says, verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child shall in no wise enter therein. And a certain ruler asked him, saying, "Good master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus said unto him, "Why callest thou me good? None is good, save one, that is God. Thou knowest the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not kill. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Honor your father and your mother." And he said, "All these have I kept from my youth up." Now, when Jesus heard these things, he said unto him, "Yet lackest thou one thing. Sell all that thou hast, and distribute it unto the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me." And when he heard these, he was very sorrowful, because he was very rich. You see why it's so hard for rich men to enter in? Because when you have the big house, and you have the big home, the car, and you have the money, your whole life is, I don't want to lose it. And so your life is on your money, and your big car, and your this, and everything you have, because you don't want to lose it, because it took so much for you to get it. And now it's, every rich person I've ever spoken to, they said the most stressful thing is keeping what you have. You can never imagine if I lost it all. That would be destroying. See, here, he didn't say lose it all. He said give it away. Give it away. And you'll have riches in that you can't even imagine. But he went away real sorrowful. I want you to turn with me, if you would, to Revelation chapter 3. I'm almost finished. Revelation 3. Hang in there a little bit longer. You all there? Look in verse 14 with me. We're going to read from 14 down to 19. It says, "And unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, These things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness," that's Jesus, "the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot." Now, I just want to stop. I haven't met many, many, many rich people. I've met many people well off. I've met many people way more money than me. I don't know their bank accounts. I don't know of any that are like mega wealthy. But the rich ones that I do know, and the ones that it's hard to get them fired up and excited. It's hard to get them shouting. It's hard to get them excited, running the aisles, man. Where they are just so excited and so passionate and so happy to be saved and have Jesus. Oh, they're great Christians and great people. But it's hard to see them get excited. And this is what he says here. He says, "I know you, that you're neither hot nor cold." And he said in verse 15, "I would," that means this is what he wanted, "that you were cold or hot. So then because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth." Pretty serious stuff, isn't it? Verse 17, "Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods, and I have need of nothing. And knowest not, but you don't know, that you are wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked." You see, people that have, they don't know what they're really like. Because deep inside here, the vanity, the lies, I have everything I want. I worked hard and I got my retirement and I got my home and I got all these things. So I'm where I wanted to be. And they don't really have a hunger or a thirst. And they don't have the passion for the things of God that you'll see somebody off the street get saved. And oh my goodness, they're so excited. They could be living in a box. But they're so excited to be saved, to be in the house of God, to be around the people of God. They're shouting hallelujah. They're giving praises. You see the excitement. You see the passion. That's a rich person. Man, that person's rich. Because the people that don't have that say, "I wish I had that. Man, I wish I had that excitement. I wish I had that power. I wish I had that praise. Woo! Glory to God." I'm telling you right now, nothing better than a church full of hungry, thirsty people coming into the house of God and getting fed and getting filled and getting what they need, what they want in their heart. Keep reading. Look what it says in verse 18. "I counsel you to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that you mayest be rich, and white raiment, that you may be clothed, and that your shame of your nakedness do not appear. And anoint your eyes with eye salve, that you may see. As many as I love," what's he do? "I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent." See, where's the zealous? Where's the passion in the churches today? It shouldn't be in the pulpit. I'm telling you right now, it should be out there in the pews. It should not be I'm the only one getting excited, getting loud, and hallelujah, and praising to God. I'm not doing that for you. I'm doing that because I'm talking about Jesus, and the Spirit of God's filling me. If you talk about Jesus more, you'll be flowing, getting fired up by going out and witnessing to people. Tell people what you got. Amen? So count your many blessings. Name them one by one. You're going to heaven, Tom. If you're born again, if you got Christ in you, you're going to heaven, and you couldn't lose it if you tried. You couldn't go to hell if you tried. You can't get away from God's love if you try. Nothing can take God's love from you. Do you understand? You have God, the creator of all things, on your side, guiding you, teaching you, telling you how to live your life so that you can have the full, rich, joyous life intended for you, and you can be a hero to somebody. And when you do die at your deathbed, you're not going to go, man, I wasted my life. You're going to say, I had a full life and I'm ready to go see Jesus. And then when you close your eyes in death, you open your eyes in life, and you're going to see everything that you're going to see things that will blow your mind. You're going to see things so good. And the reason God doesn't want you to know how good it is because he doesn't want you to die. Because everyone's going to be like standing in front of trains because they want to get up there. Let me finish with this. The love of money is the root of all evil. 1 Timothy chapter 6. Go turn there with me. The love of money. Let me just add a little to that. Not God's word, but add and understand. The love of power. The love of authority. The love of pleasure. Children never had electronics up till what? 15 years ago? 10 years ago? Wasn't even invented. It wasn't until the 90s that even cell phones came out. And to the 90s, to me, is like seems like a couple days ago, a couple years ago. You know what I'm saying? Like, the kids today, they don't know how to function without a pad or some kind of electronic device that costs $1,000, $800. They don't know how to function. They literally have no life unless they have the best electronics. They are lied to, and they have vanity all over them, because if that's what it takes to make you happy. You know what made me happy? I'm not comparing. A pair of sneakers, Chuck Taylors, man. When I was a kid and I had a pair of Chucks, I was skipping all the, you know why? Because I could run faster and jump higher. And look good doing it, amen? I wanted my sneakers not to look good, to be cool, but so I could run the bases. So I could go out there and play sports and just go out there and enjoy my life. And guess what? None of those things, football, baseball, wrestling, you name it, all the things I did, basketball, none of that became a hindrance where that was my life. That was just having fun while I was doing life. You know, nothing became a hindrance until I got older and he got married, and then I needed money. And then once you need money, right, Heather? Once you need money, you know how life is. And that's what look what it says in 1 Timothy chapter 6. Look in verse 10. It says, for the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. But thou, O man of God, flee these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called. You're called to that. And have professed. That means you're saying you're a Christian. A good profession before many witnesses. I'm here to tell you. When he said, I have two things to ask you, God. Please remove vanity far from me. And lies. Because he knew what it would do. It'll just make your life a waste, empty. Can you imagine being like the age of my father, where you get into 89 years old, and you look back, you didn't teach Sunday schools, you didn't witness to anybody, you led no one to the Lord, you brought no one into the church. Things that are important that are going to be, I mean, the most important thing in all the world is you bringing others into the kingdom of God. Just by being you and the gifts that God's given you. And that's why it says study to show yourself approved. a workman that needs not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Study. You say, oh, it's too hard, but yet you'll do all kinds of other stuff in your life. We spend our whole lives trying to build a life. We spend our whole lives trying to build a life. And then we get it and we realize it's really not life at all. God will give you every single thing. First Timothy, let's finish with this. I just want to hurry up and say this, but he said, give me neither poverty nor riches. He says, because if you give me too much, I'm not going to care about you as much. And he says, if you don't give me enough and I'm poor, then I'm going to steal and I'm going to rob and I'm going to take the name of the God in vain. And God says, thou shalt not steal. And poverty tempts us to lie. It does. It tempts us to cheat and to steal and to get what we need. To steal from the boss at work, or to steal from your job or your government, you know, to steal from welfare or insurance or food stamps or anything to get ahead. That's what poor people do. When you're so poor, you don't care what it takes, you're going to do it to get what you need. And that's why he says, please don't let me be poor where I have to lie. Please don't let me be too rich where I forget you. So there's that medium right in the middle. And I want to finish with this is, like I said, I don't know everything about what I'm going to say. I can only give you my experiences. But you know who had the best lives I've seen? Are people that worked hard their whole life, paid their taxes, maybe had like a carpenter's job or something like that, or, you know, and then they retire and they take care of their, they took care of their children and they just had enough to pay everything. You know what I mean? Like they had a decent life. They worked hard but then I see the rich people and they don't have that contentment. Look with me, if you want, in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 5, and we'll finish. It says, perverse disputings of men of corrupt minds and destitute of the truth, supposing that gain is godliness. What should we do? From such, withdraw yourself. Do you realize how many TV preachers are out there that suppose gain is godliness? So, come on, are you going to help me finish or what? You know how many preachers are out there that tell health, wealth, and prosperity, and you should have rich and you should be rich? That's godliness. And look what it says, verse 6. But godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it's certain that we can carry nothing out. And having food and raiment, let us be there with content. But they that will be rich shall fall into temptations and snares, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil. You see, what he's saying is, it's not that they will have a destroyed life on the outward. They're going to have a destroyed life on the inward. They will not have any riches with God. They may, and I'm talking about if they are saved, what are they going to have for eternity? This life is over in a jiffy. Amen? This life is gone. One minute, Kira's 4. Next minute, she's 12. Next minute, she's going to be 20. Then she's going to be 37. And then she's going to be 50. Next thing you know, she's going to be as old as me because I'm not getting any older. Right? We're going to hang out in the old folks' home together. And she's going to look back and go, man, how did this happen? I'm 50 years old already. You know what I mean? Like already. And God's telling us to be like he said in Proverbs, to say, God, two things I'm just asking for. Deny them not from me before I die. Remove far from me vanity and lies so that my life can be real, my life can be rich, my life can be served for a purpose and a reason in this world, that when I leave, there's a mark that I was here. Souls will be saved. God will be glorified. People will be into the kingdom. There's nothing more important than that. With every head bowed and every eye closed, Bible says, with godliness, with contentment, is great gain. I'm going to ask you right now just to spend a minute with the Lord, talking to him. Why don't you thank him right now for your salvation, which is the greatest gift in all the world. He paid for it. He gave it to you free. You don't earn it. You can't deserve it. He gives it to you. It's the greatest gift in the world, isn't it? Isn't the greatest gift in the world? Isn't it? Thank him for it now. Thank him. Say, Jesus, thank you for saving my soul. Thank you for dying on the cross for me. Thank you, Lord, for paying the price that I could never pay. And I believe in you, Lord, and I give you my faith. I give you my heart. I give you my soul. I give you my body. Let my will be your will. I pray that you'll live in me and through me, and you know what's best for me. You know what's going to make me happy. You know the kind of person that I can be. You know what this world needs. It needs a hero. I can be the hero of my own story, Lord. I can be the one that helps people. I can be the one that teaches. I can be the one that, they come to for answers. But Lord, you have to remove from me this vanity. You have to remove from me lies. God, let me see the truth. Let me feel the truth and know the truth and follow the truth. Oh God, I give you my heart tonight. I trust you with my life. I give you my business. I give you my marriage. I give you my bank account. I give you my children. All of it's yours because I trust you with it. And Lord, wherever you lead me, I'll be content. Wherever you lead, I'll follow because I know that you, Lord, you own the cattle on a thousand hills. I know that you said that anyone who leaves father or mother or wife or children or for my sake shall in this world receive 10 times more. You are giving, caring God, but you want us to trust you more than anything else. So I pray, Lord God, help us to trust you. Thank you for this message. Thank you for the word. Thank you for the people that came to your house hungering and thirsting. Fill them. Fill them with the Holy Ghost and the power of God. Save the soul that's nearest hell. Give unto each person discernment and wisdom. And Lord, we will be sure to praise you along our life's journey. We'll worship you. We'll let people hear us. And we'll tell everyone we meet about you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Glory to God. You are dismissed. Thank you.